What have conditions been like where you are at this spring in South Dakota?
Well, where I am at is sort of northeast South Dakota, and it's been cool. You know, the lilacs aren't even blooming yet, and wet. And we don't mind the wet after the last couple of dry years here. So it's just been a late start, and, you know, this recent bout of rain has now put everything to a standstill. But we're really not in that bad of a condition compared to the folks in the southeast part of South Dakota, and then all through the Corn Belt where they came in from the fall with waterlogged soils, and this cool, wet spring has just made everything extremely slow and basically not going.
And so, as you alluded to, Elaine, as you move farther south and east, it's a very different story. And that's evident to not only the crop progress reports that we get, but, you know, with just the activity we see on Twitter and farmers talking to farmers. What are conditions like there, and how big of an impact is that having, you know, on the markets thus far?
Yeah, so the impact on the markets is still hard to calculate, because even if, so Illinois, let's say last week, they had only 11% planted, and because they've been so wet in the past week, and they got another bout of rain this weekend, and so we're going forward probably all the way into June before you get serious drying in a lot of those areas, flooded areas of Illinois, then you can sort of predict that none of those acres have been planted since the last crop progress report, and you can do this exercise for all of these states in the Corn Belt, and you can see that it's a really big problem. But the prevented planting option on folks' crop insurance means that you could still be planting into June. And if prices continue going up, farmers will be motivated to keep planting into June to get some bushels out of something somehow. So that's what I'm saying. It's really hard to predict the market reaction ultimately, but we have certainly seen, you know, a good jump in corn prices due to this, and then the corresponding fall in soybean prices, because the idea is, if they're planting in June, they probably won't be planting corn. They might be planting extra soybean acres.
And so let's dive into that topic a little further, Elaine. You actually kind of weighed the pros and cons and put all this on a spreadsheet based on, you know, current prices, you know, the preventive planting payout, that sort of thing. So tell me more about kind of this mini project you put together.
Yeah, I didn't even publish the results of the spreadsheet because they're too apocalyptic to even think about. You know, at the time that I did it, you're talking about 33 million plus acres not planted yet and might not get planted after this big wet system went through the Corn Belt. But don't use that number for anything, because like I mentioned, I think it will get planted. But then if you just use maybe a more realistic, just kind of spitballing 4 million acres number, which would still be a historically large amount of prevented planting, more than in 2013, more than in any recent year, if you did that, you'd still end up with a 14.3 billion bushel crop, and you'd still end up with a stocks-to-use ratio of like 12%, which is not that tight. We have so much corn in this country, and we're likely to have a big crop again if folks are able to plant at all. So, you know, we just don't know yet that it's a catastrophe worthy of getting really bulled up for $4.50 or $5 corn.
And so in this corn market, if it kind of continues on this trend or holds steady over the next couple of weeks, in your opinion, I guess, where is corn profitable, or some of these prices aren't looking too bad?
Yeah, the motivation here is the expectation that everybody else doesn't plant. So if you are in a position that you are capable of getting corn planted, and I know it sounds like folks in North Dakota are, because they have dry soils, some haves and some have nots, if you are in a position to get something planted, you're guessing that down the road Illinois is going to be a disaster and that the corn market will continue to rally above $4, which is certainly possible at this point. So the speculators in the markets, the folks who are in these markets, the hedge funds and the traders who are in just to make a profit on the futures trading, they have been historically net short in corn because, as I mentioned before, we have a lot of corn left over in this country. We have very comfortable supplies. So they have been expectations of another very large crop being planted in 2019. So the expectation going into the month of May was that this is a very bearish market, and they had very large net short positions, 2.5 times as many short futures positions held in their accounts as long positions. So when this bullish story started to materialize, I think that's why we saw some of that sort of streaky or jumpy higher movement in the corn market that left some gaps on the chart, is because these speculators and perhaps even some farmers getting out of contracts really wanted out of the contracts. They had to cover those short positions in the fear that the market would be rallying quite a bit.
And so bringing our conversation full circle, when we talk corn, prevented planting, all those conversations we're having this spring, anything else we need to make sure and mention?
Well, the trade war is obviously still weighing on everything. So I mentioned how the soybean prices seem to be going down on the same days that corn prices go up in the expectation of the new crop acres being switched. But the soybean prices are also still being pressured by, obviously, all of this ongoing trade war problems. So that's just another factor to weigh in. If you are able to get some corn planted, that still seems to be a favorable crop from the trade scenario.